Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. My guest this evening is Ran Jordan. He's a wine merchant at VOS Selections. Good evening, Ran.
Good evening, Chaim. Can you hear me clearly?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
So, let's talk a little bit about how did you get into wine? Why, of all things, would a Jewish boy become a wine merchant? Even though it's been a long time honored the Jewish profession, but still.
Well, I work for VOS Selections here in New York City, and our company has been in business for about 28 years. And back in 2002, a year after 9/11, I decided that I wanted to go into the wine business after working on Wall Street. I'd been working on Wall Street for over 20 years. I had been a customer's man. I subsequently became a municipal bond specialist. And over those many years, I learned and enjoyed the business a great deal. But after 9/11, I was downtown on 9/11. I decided that I wanted to do something a little bit different, and the wine business opened itself up to me.
How? Of all things, why wine?
Well, to be straight on this, very easily, my girlfriend at the time, my wife, was very interested in wine. And she introduced me to many different wines, and I enjoyed eating and drinking. And it just came to me. I looked in the newspaper, came across an ad for wine sales, and figured I could do this. And lo and behold, I met Mr. Victor Schwartz, who is the president of our company, and he gave me the opportunity to jump into the wine barrel, so to speak.
However, I am sure that there must have been some transition between enjoying wine and suddenly becoming a salesman for that.
Oh, for sure. That definitely occurred. Enjoying wine is one thing, but I've always appreciated being in sales. I've been in sales for over 40 years, and since that's the case, I thought to myself, I could sell wine. That doesn't seem to be a hard product to sell, but once I learned about wine, it became enjoyable and exciting for me because I got to understand the different terroir. I got to understand the different ideas about wine, the way wines are made. I got to understand more and more about the wine business and enjoyed it more and more as the years have come by.
Okay. What are some of the wines, some of the kosher wines that your company represents?
Well, my company works with many different wines. In fact, we have over 700 wines in our portfolio, and we work with over 17 or 20 different countries all over the world. We sell some wonderful cava from Spain, and our cava producer had come to us and said, by the way, we also have some kosher wines. This picked up my interest very quickly because I enjoy drinking wine, and in the past, I always found that the wines for Passover and the wines that were kosher in the market really were a bit too sweet for me, or they just really didn't suit my taste. But I knew that this particular winery had some wonderful wines. They brought them to us, and when we tasted them, what we found out is that these were world-class wines made by a winery that's been in business for over 150 years, offering great value and at the same time really delicious wines. So when we saw this, we felt this is an opportunity for us. We can sell a wonderful wine. People will enjoy it. And at the same time, they really find that it's a great value.
Which are the wines that you sell with under your kosher portfolio?
Our kosher portfolio includes three wines. They are all produced by the Bodega Pinord, which is in Penedès, Spain, which is right outside of Barcelona. The three wines are under the Tanug label, Tanug meaning pleasure, and I thought that was a real good play on words as well because drinking wine is pleasurable and pleasure is what we all seek. So when we're having fun and a good time, pleasure is what we want. And therefore, when I saw this, I said, these wines really will fit our market here in New York and perhaps other markets as well. These particular wines, the Tanug wines, we have three different varietals, actually more than three different varietals, but three separate and unique wines. One wine is a kosher Cava. One wine is a kosher Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot blend that is a Crianza, as well as a Tempranillo that is a Crianza. What Crianza means is that the wine has been aged in a barrel for a year and aged for a bottle in the bottle for a year before it's released to the market.
At the show last week for the Jewish Week Great Kosher Wine Tasting, I happened to taste the Cava, and for a very moderately priced wine, I found it exceptional. I loved it. And, in fact, what I wrote about it was that three grape varieties were used, Macabeo, Parragiata, and Xarello, which are fermented separately, then blended and fermented again together in the bottle for 12 months. I found it intensely fruity on the nose. It is smooth on the palate, has a long finish with a pale straw color and considerable effervescence. Absolutely a very refreshing wine. What are the other wines that you have under the Tanug label?
We have a Tempranillo Crianza, and that is a wine that is a light wine, but it has filled with character. It has a personality that leaves a smooth palate and a very balanced finish. This is a midweight wine, not too heavy, so it goes really well with lots of lighter foods. We then also have a Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot blend, and this is a powerful and full-bodied wine. The fruit mixes well with the tannins, and it conveys a sense of strength. It also has a wonderful, long, lingering aftertaste. All of these wines are kashrut for Pesach. They're all made with yeast that is kosher for Passover, which is a very important feature in these wines. And the benefit is that these wines not only can be drunk for Passover, but also throughout the rest of the year.
Exactly, and that's why we call the show Talking Wine for Passover and Beyond.
I appreciate that.
Now, how would you pair this wine?
That would be very easy with these particular wines because each one is very unique. The first one I would talk about is the Cava. And one thing I would like to mention about the Cava, as you pointed out, it was refreshing and it was good and you really enjoyed the taste. So
Absolutely.
Did the judges. The judges at the kosher wine tasting for the Jewish week rated our wine one of the top 10 wines at the presentation. But in addition to this, it was also the number 3 white wine that was listed under $18 in a retail store. This is the second year in a row that our wine has been in the top 10, and in fact in the top 3 wines in the entire showing at the Grand Wine Tasting for the Jewish Week. Now, this Cava is really wonderful because it's a sparkling wine. What we like to say in the wine business is sparkling wine is great all the time for lots of different foods. There are no foods that do not go well with sparkling wine. It's a party wine. It's an enjoyable wine to drink in the afternoon. It could even be considered a brunch or a breakfast wine. You can mix it with various things. You could actually mix it with orange juice or grapefruit juice or pomegranate juice. You could put other things into it, a little sugar and a little bitters, and it would make this a cocktail drink as well. So it's very versatile and at the same time delightful on the palate. It goes with lots of different kinds of foods, so you could eat it with matzo brei in the morning. You could eat it with gefilte fish in the afternoon. And it also would be a great wine to start a dinner with or start a party with. can be a bar mitzvah wine, a bat mitzvah wine. It could be a wine for a baby naming. It could be wines that are used at special occasions, or that special occasion could just be you woke up on the weekend on Shabbat and you want to have a real nice wine that day. This would be a perfect wine for all of these occasions.
Okay, let's hear about the other two wines, how you would pair them.
The other two wines, I would then go with the Tempranillo. Tempranillo being a medium-bodied wine. It goes really well with all sorts of appetizer types of dishes. I wouldn't necessarily say it goes with a fish appetizer, but it would go well with meat appetizers or vegetable appetizers. Knishes would go great with this as an example. Chopped liver would be a wonderful dish that would go along with this as well. This is the kind of wine that you can drink not too heavy. You can have a second glass and a third glass without any difficulty and have it be very, very enjoyable. It has a great aroma.
You mean that it would be a suitable wine for the four cups?
Oh, it would definitely
would
be
a bit heavy wine, considering the time limit in drinking those four cups the first night.
I totally understand that. What I would recommend is that the cava would be the first wine that you could drink in the four cups. A bit unique and a bit out of the ordinary to have sparkling wine during a Pesach Seder, but it could be an excellent wine to start the meal with. The Tempranillo would work out wonderfully as the second wine because it would go with a lighter dish. Matzo ball soup? Yes. But more importantly, it would probably go better with a nice chopped liver appetizer or something in that area. This wine also has a great spice intensity. So when you shake it a little bit, the spices come out and it has a wonderful berry flavor.
And the Cabernet?
Now, the Cabernet is very typical of what Cabernet should taste like coming from Spain. Again, this wine, as well as the Tempranillo, is fermented on the skins or macerated for about 15 days. It then goes into a barrel, and it sits in that barrel for over a year, and then it goes into the bottle, so it has nice tannins. The Cabernet is a powerful wine, as I pointed out. It has aromas of red fruits, blackberries, some gooseberries and blueberries, and it also has a touch of toast in it. When I say toast, it's like that woody toast that you get out of good Cabernets because of the time that it spends in the oak. So that wine, this Cabernet Merlot blend Crianza, would go extremely well with meat dishes. So this would pair up very nicely with a brisket or a lamb dish, and you could even drink it with turkey because it would go very well with all these kinds of meats. It's really a wonderful meat-oriented wine. And these wines are all designated to work very well with foods.
Well, that sounds wonderful. What are the price ranges on all three of these wines?
That
How would they sell in the store?
That might be one of the best. All of these wines should cost less than $20 a bottle. And what I would say is, on average, the Cava would come in under $18, or around $18 a bottle. The Tempranillo would come in somewhere around $15 to $16 a bottle. And the Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot blend would also come in that $15 to $16 range. These would be prices that I would see in New York. It might be different in other parts of the country.
When you say New York, you mean New York City, or you mean Greater New York, including parts of New Jersey?
New York State. We sell these wines all over the state of New York as well as in the state of New Jersey. That is where we are allowed to sell these wines. But they are available all over the country. Not a problem at all. And if somebody is looking for these particular wines, they could always give me a call at my office and ask where they might be found, and we would be able to find some different distributors or different wine stores throughout the country that would have these wines available.
Why don't you give our listeners the number where they can call you if they want to be able to find these wines?
They could always reach us at 212-967-6948, or they could contact me directly at ronj@vosselections.com. And our website is www.vosselections.com.
Now, considering that before this you were on Wall Street and then you became a wine salesman, I am sure there must have been a culture clash between the two professions, between what you were used to on Wall Street and what you suddenly had to live with as a wine merchant. And I am sure there were some interesting anecdotes you could probably tell us.
Well, it's definitely a difference, because on Wall Street it was a very intense job, as Wall Street is. I would say a little more stressful than the job that I have working as a wine merchant. I think that the basic difference between the two is that when I was working on Wall Street, it was very important for me to understand my customers very well and at the same time be able to make sure that they got the best investments. Now, I use that same philosophy with my wine customers, because my wine customers will look for the best values in the market, they will look for high quality, and I have to listen to them to understand what they're looking for. So very easily, I could transfer the knowledge that I had about working on Wall Street to working in the wine industry. The people are much easier to deal with, because in the stock market and in the bond market, I have to work more with a sale that people can't grab a hold of. They can't hold the product in their hands. They couldn't drink the product or taste the product or smell the product. In the wine business, it's a little easier, because the customers actually get to smell, taste, and see what this wine really works and how it works with the various foods, as well as how their customers would react. So it makes it a little bit different in terms of a sale. I've had many different experiences. As an example, one thing I always enjoyed doing when I was on Wall Street was eating and drinking. Well, I continue to enjoy eating and drinking in the wine business, but some of my favorite places to eat and drink on Wall Street and in New York have now become some of my very good customers. And that works very well for me, because now instead of going in and complimenting the chefs on their wonderful foods and getting to know them that way, I am now more a part of their business, where we actually sit with the chefs and understand what they're cooking and taste what they're cooking and figure out what wines fit with what specific foods. An interesting thing about our Tanoug wines, however, they are all non-Mavushal wines. What that means is that it's more difficult to find them in a restaurant, and they're more for the home use. If there are restaurants with non-Mavushal wines, we're happy to have them in there, but most of the restaurants that we work with Mavushal wines. So these wines more are for the home and for people to have parties or private events with.
Does VOS Selections have any plans for getting additional kosher wines in the portfolio?
As a matter of fact, every day we're looking for different wines. And even today, I was talking with my bosses about additional kosher wines, including some wonderful wines from Croatia, wines from Austria, wines from Italy, and other wines from Spain as well. In the past, we've had American kosher wines. So yes, we are constantly looking for better wines throughout the world, and kosher wines are very much an important aspect and part of our portfolio.
That sounds very, very good. But
finding the right texture and finding the right kashrut is also very important. The kashrut
right
that we have on this, the texture that we have, is from Chug Chasem Sofer. This is in Bnei Brak in Jerusalem, and it is a highly recognized and extremely good
Chug Chasem Sofer, of course. Of course. It's one of the top Echsherim in Eretz Israel.
That is correct. Now, the other thing about these wines being made in a kosher style, now when I say kosher style, I mean that these wines are made under very strict kosher regulation, with rabbis all the time working with the winery. The rabbis are actually winemakers, but it goes beyond just the wine making. They pick all the grapes by hand from the fields. They pick out only a special amount of the grapes, because after looking at the harvest and the fermentation and the aging, the bottling all has to be supervised by a rabbi, the rabbi who is the winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
But the conditions of the vineyards are very important. And an interesting aspect of these wines is that the corners of the fields are all left. They only pick the best grapes out of the fields. Once they're picked, they sort the grapes and they find the best grapes, and that's what these wines are made out of. The other
Very
thing
good.
That they do is before they start making the wine, it's all done in stainless steel tanks. All of the wines, all three wines, are first made in a stainless steel tank. These stainless steel fermentation tanks are filled with water, then emptied, then refilled again every 24 hours over a 3-day period of time. Once that occurs, each tank is then sealed and stamped twice with a Kashrut emblem. The grapes are then picked by hand, and all the winery work is then followed up. The yeasts are all kosher for Passover yeasts. The filtering is watched very closely. They are cold stabilized. They are fined, meaning they clear the wine, and then they bottle the wine, and everything is carried out under the auspices of our rabbi, who watches and makes sure that everything is done exactly correct.
Now, like in any other job, I am sure you must have had some funny occurrences, something that will make the audience laugh or at least smile. Care to tell us about any such?
Well, sure. We've got a couple of different stories that we can always talk about. One thing I did enjoy, actually, this past year, and again for the second year in a row, I've been working with a group of people out of the New York City 14th Street Y. It is called the Laboratory for Jewish Culture, or LABA. This is an organization that runs cultural events at the 14th Street Y on 14th Street in the east side of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do this, what they come to me with are different passages, biblical passages, halacha passages, even passages that come from Zohar, because they have a Kabbalist that has worked with us over the years. And when they bring these wines, when they bring these passages to me, what I needed to do was match wines to fit the passages. So at times this was a difficult feat to do, and other times it was easy. It's easy to talk about wine as pleasurable, and particularly when I pair up wines to go with the Song of Solomon as an example. But they picked out passages of Noah, because Noah might have been the very first winemaker or the first winemaker ever talked about in the Bible. Now, in Torah, when it talks about Noah, it doesn't say much good about what happened with Noah after he went out and drank. Also, it doesn't say much good about Lot when he drank. So I had to pick out wines that fit those particular situations, and at the same time make sure that everybody was having fun at the event. So these were very enjoyable to do this. It was very enjoyable to do this, but it was a difficult task as I was doing it.
And what type of wines did you pick out?
Well, what we matched different wines that came along to work with various passages. So as an example, this past year we were talking about good and evil, because wine can be mentioned as good or evil in various passages. So what
Absolutely.
I showed were two different styles of wine, both a white wine and a red wine. And then to show the crossover, we used a rosé wine as a crossover, so that it wasn't exactly red and it wasn't exactly white. Now, at the same time, one of the scholars gave passages having to do with a rose almost appearing like a cup. So it was very much fun to match up this and really talk with the people. We had a full house at the 14th Street Y, drinking wine with us and enjoying it before we came on to Purim this past year.
Very interesting way of adapting wine to the particular occasion.
Exactly.
In a biblical way. Very interesting. And how often do you have this type of events?
This event, which is actually called Drunk, occurs once a year, usually in the winter, before Purim shows up, so that this year, as an example, we did it in February, as I remember. But each year, mm-hmm. we do this in the beginning of the year, or the first quarter of the year, and it is a wonderful, wonderful event. Also something that people can come to at any particular time. You don't have to belong to the Y. You don't have to belong to the organization. It's a laboratory of enjoyable times.
Very interesting. I love the way wine is used to both to have fun and to teach biblical passages.
Exactly. And it worked out very, very nicely. And we had some very nice scholars and a number of rabbis talking about it and having a good time with us as well.
Now, let me ask you the question. You were on Wall Street. You switched to wine. What do you see yourself doing over the next 20 years, say?
Well, that's a good question. I am over 61. So over the next 20 years, I think that I'll
be enjoying... At some point, you're going to retire.
That's the beauty about the wine business. I know many salespeople and many wine merchants that are much older than I am and enjoying it today just as much as I'm enjoying it and as much as my friends who are 20 or 30 years younger than I enjoy this. This is the kind of industry and the kind of business that on a day-by-day basis, we get up in the morning, we really like our product, and we really enjoy our lives. So when I go out every morning, it makes me feel young at heart, and my age is not reflected in my stride. I simply go out and enjoy meeting with my clients and showing them some wonderful wines and enjoying ourselves. So what I see for myself over the next 20 years, and it's probably more like the next 15, because I would see into my 80s. I don't know if I'd be so much running around. I could see myself sitting back and enjoying more wine and visiting more wineries. But over the next 15 years, I can definitely see myself in different aspects of the wine business because there are many different things that I can do. Teach about wine, enjoy wine. I do a lot of pairings with chefs, and that's something that I really enjoy. I have a number of friends that are chefs, and what they do is they come to me on a weekly or a monthly basis and say to me, I'm going to have a special dinner. Here is what I'm serving. What wine would you suggest that I pair with this? So I do a lot of these wine pairings, and that's a lot of fun. I have one chef who works with me on a biweekly basis where we just do some wonderful pairings, and she does different private parties, and we have a good time with these wines. So it depends on how my life opens up for me in the future. I never anticipated being a wine person. I never anticipated being a wine merchant when I was working on Wall Street. So this really has been a change in my lifestyle.
Well, I also noticed that you are a member of the American Association of Sommeliers. Obviously,
right,
you have to know your wines very, very well. Hello?
Yes, I'm with you.
I said, obviously, you had to know your wines very, very well to pass the requirements for membership.
That is correct. I had to go to wine school to learn about wines, and that was part of the program for the American Sommelier Association. They taught me many different things about viticulture. They taught me many different things about wines in general and wines very specific. I had to learn about wines from all over the world, and that's one of the nice things about my job. I get to travel in different places, not so much to pick out wines for my company, but to learn about the places where the wine is made and see how they make it and understand what the winemakers are doing, because the winemakers have great passion for their wines. So it's a very enjoyable experience. I've been to Argentina, I've been to Greece, I've been to France, I've been to all over America, I've tasted wine in Arizona, I've tasted wine in North Carolina, I've tasted wine in Florida, all native wines for those areas. We have wonderful wine here in New York State as well, and I've been to a number of different places in New York State, the Finger Lakes, up by Lake Erie, up by Lake Ontario, and out in Long Island. They have many different wonderful wines throughout.
Okay, and we are just about out of time. This was a very interesting show. I find our conversation delightful. I learned a lot from listening to you. And we should do it again soon.
I look forward to speaking with you in the future very much and keeping you in tune to the wonderful world of wine.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you for being on our show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And tune us in tomorrow, when we'll be doing another show, this time with the four partners of Israel Wines Direct: Naomi Ochberg, Ari Ochberg, Agnes Goldberger, and Meyer Jakobowitz. Until then, good night to one and all. Thank you for listening. Good night.